Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Ayin Vav. We left off yesterday, daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis at Tashma, which is the last word on the line, 2, 4, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Today's shiur, sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. Also, Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'a Shalom, is also sponsored by Yal and Yosef Gurevich in appreciation of their children's Rabbeim and Morot. It's also sponsored anonymously, L'Zchus Refuah Shleima, for Shema Yob and Razel Shoshana Miriam. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for their continued sponsorship of the shiur. So today, we are going to cover two primary topics. So the first topic that we're going to cover is a continuation of the discussion that we began yesterday. So yesterday, we had a Mishnah on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. That Mishnah had spoken about a situation where there's a fellow who's about to leave his house for an extended period of time. His wife is at home, and so he says that he wants to preemptively either be Mekayim or Mefir all of the Nedarim that she may take while he's away. So the first case in the Mishnah was, let's say the guy says, I'm going away, all of the Nedarim that my wife takes during the time that I'm away, I want to be Mekayim, that they should be Mekayim. I want to be Mekayim those Nedarim. So what the Mishnah had said was, that does not work. We saw why it doesn't work. The push-up shot is that of the Ran, that Kiyum only works for a Neder which already exists. So if you have a Neder that doesn't yet exist, you cannot be Mekayim something which doesn't exist. However, what if the guy says the opposite? The guy says preemptively, I want to preemptively be Mefir all of the Nedarim that my wife is going to take while I'm away. So over there we saw Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer said, yes, he can make such a preemptive hafara, whereas the Chachamim said, no, he cannot make such a preemptive hafara. What was the basis for the machlokas? So the basis for the machlokas that we saw yesterday was that Rabbi Eliezer says that he can make such a preemptive hafara because there's a kal v'chomer, that madach, if he could be made for nedarim that she already took, nedarim that are already in existence, he can revoke. So certainly he should be able to revoke those nedarim and prevent them even from coming into existence, because it's harder to revoke something that's already extant. Over here, he has the power to preempt it. So if you could get rid of something that exists, surely you are able to prevent that thing from coming into existence itself from the outset. That's the kal v'chomer of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim said no. They had a gzeiros hakosef of v'yishayi kimenu v'yishayi ferenu, that the only time, the only situation in which you are able to be mefer in neder is where you could otherwise be mekayim the neder. If you can't be mekayim the neder, you can't be mefer the neder. And what did we said? That you cannot be mekayim in neder preemptively because you can only be mekayim something that exists. So too, according to the Chachamim, you can only be mefer something that exists. That was the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim that we saw in the Mishnah. For the balance of the daf yesterday, what we had been discussing was in the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that that preemptive hafara works. How exactly does it work? How does it manifest? In other words, the guy makes a preemptive hafara. When the woman takes a neder, do we assume that the neder is chal and then immediately is revoked because the guy issued a preemptive hafara? Or do we say that the neder is not chal at all, because the preemptive hafara prevents the neder from being chal altogether? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, we had seen two nafkaminas. The one brought down in the Gemara is, what happens if somebody else tries to come and link another neder to that neder? So let's say the woman takes a neder of Naziris, and some guy comes along and says, va'ani, that he also wants to be a Nazir, but he's linking his neder of Naziris to the woman's neder of Naziris. If we assume that the neder exists and then is immediately revoked, if he says ani during the moment in time when the neder is chal, then his Naziris is going to be effective. However, if we say that the hafara comes and preempts the neder from actually ever being chal, then there was never a neder of Naziris that was validly taken by the woman, and therefore you cannot link another, you cannot piggyback another neder of Naziris off of the woman's neder. We also said that the nafkamina should be l'chaora, whether the woman herself is able to violate the neder. If there's a moment in time where the neder exists before it's mufar, then the woman can violate the nether. If there is no moment in time when the nether exists, then the woman cannot violate the nether. So we tried bringing a kal vachomer. So we tried bringing a couple of rayas yesterday, rather, from let's say, other scenarios. And we're trying to, again, prove the point within the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. When we say that a preemptive afara works, how does it work? Does the nether come in existence and then automatically it's mufar? Or does the preemptive afara prevent the nether from ever coming into existence? So the last raya that we saw yesterday was a raya from a person's own personal hafaras nedarim or ataras nedarim. And what is that? So we saw the run yesterday. That's when a person gets up on Rosh Hashanah. We do it on Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, and we say Kol Nidre. So Yom Kippur night, we say Kol Nidre. So what are you doing? You're saying that all of the nedarim that you take for the rest of the year should automatically be null and void. Now, what do we know about a person? A person cannot personally be made for his own nedarim after he takes them. The only way to do it is if you're a woman, you need afaras baal, and if you're a regular person, then you need ataras chacham. You need a chacham to be matur the nether. Yet, a person is able to prevent the nether from taking place. So certainly then, the husband who's able to be made for the wife's nedarim after she takes them, he should certainly be able to prevent the nether from taking place at all. And isn't this a raya that when the preemptive afara works, it works to the extent that it prevents the nether from taking place altogether? So the Gemara had said, no raya, hot kedisa va kedisa. In other words, you are right. From here we learn the kal vachomer that there is an ability to preempt a nether. You could preemptively be mefer a nether, but there's no raya necessarily that the preemptive afara for the wife works exactly the same way, with the same mechanics as a preemptive afara on Yom Kippur. So it could be that on Yom Kippur, when you're making a preemptive afara for yourself, it does prevent the nether from being chal altogether, but still for your wife, maybe it's chal for a moment in time, and then it's going to revoke. So that's what we did yesterday. The reason for this whole hakdama is because we're going to dive right in to other rayas. We're going to try to prove from various other halachas throughout Shas what Rabbi Eliezer will hold in a case of preemptive afara. Is the nether chal for a moment and then automatically revoked, or does the revocation prevent the nether from being chal? So we're going to try to bring a raya from mikvah, we're going to try to bring a raya from Zeraim, and we are going to try to prove, we're going to try to bring a raya from a Bitonara, who a person can sell as a maidservant, but not when she becomes a bogeres. And we're going to try to bring a raya from all of these cases, whether we could prove one way or another what happens mechanically when we have this preemptive revocation. Is it that the nether is chal and then immediately revoked, or is that the nether is not chal at all? So it sounds simple, but these cases are pretty complicated. So hopefully we'll be able to explain them cogently. That's going to take us to the top of Ayin Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah is going to talk, this is a much easier topic, so it's really a tale of two dafs. So the first Amud is tough, and the second Amud is much easier. The second Amud, we have the Mishnah, which is going to tell us about Hafaras Nedarim and how long one has to be made for a neder. So we know that there's a concept of biyom shamo, that the baal has to be made for the nether on the day that it is taken. The question is, what does that mean? Does it mean on the calendar day? Does it mean that you have 24 hours? And how exactly does that work? When exactly can the baal be made for the nether? All right, but again, we left off at Toshma, which is the last word on the line, six lines up from the bottom on Ayin Hey Amud Beis, and that's where we were going to pick up from. So again, we're trying to bring rayas within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that we saw in the Mishnah, that a preemptive revocation works. Does the preemptive revocation work to prevent the nether from ever coming into place, or does the nether come into place only then to immediately be revoked? So says the Gemara as follows, Toshma. So Amr lo the Rabbi Eliezer. So they said to Rabbi Eliezer, Uma mikva shema'ala esatmeim mitumasam. So madach, let's bring a raya from a mikva. A mikvah, if something is tameh and is immersed in a mikvah, the mikvah has the power to remove the tumah from that thing, yet ein matzil ala tahorim milatameh. You cannot immerse something in a mikvah and have that immersion in a mikvah preempt tumah from taking place. So, for example, if you have a utensil, and the utensil is, forget about a utensil, let's talk about a person. You have a person. A person is tameh. So if the person goes into the mikvah, the person goes in tameh and comes out tahar. Good. So that's the way a mikvah works. Let's say the person is tahar, but is afraid that he might encounter a circumstance of tumah later. So the person decides, today, Monday morning, he's going to go to the mikvah. So he's going to go to the mikvah, and his being tovel on the mikvah is going to prevent him from ever being metame, from ever becoming tame. Does that work? So the answer is no, it doesn't work. That the only thing that the mikvah has the power to do, the mikvah has the power to remove tuma, but it doesn't have the power to prevent tuma, which is counterintuitive, right? Because you would think that if the mikvah has the ability to remove tuma, it should have the ability to prevent tuma, but the answer is no. We know that things don't necessarily work that way. So again, Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Uma mikvah shamala sasatameim, itamasam, ein maser lala Torah milatame. So Adam, so a person, she'ein mala esatameim itumasam, which cannot be mitaher or something from its state of tuma, ein adinu, is it not a kal v'chomer, shelo yatzil ala torim ilitame, that he shouldn't be able to prevent something from ever being tame, shmamina lo chaylan. So, Shmamino lo chaylan. So from here we see somehow, we'll explain in a minute, somehow we have a raya that the neder is not chal at all. What in the world does this mean that the neder is not chal at all? So the halacha is like this. So the Gemara is very obtusely, so the Ran helps fill us in. So the Gemara is very obtusely referring to the following halacha. You have two situations. First situation is a case of regular tumatara, the guy is tovel something in a mikvah. So that's pashat, right? If you have something which is tameh, you could be tovel in the mikvah. After your tovel in the mikvah, becomes tar. So good. So the mikvah has the ability to remove tuma from that which is tameh. However, the mikvah doesn't have the ability to prevent something from becoming tameh. The fact that you're tovel something when it's a state of tahara doesn't mean that now you're giving it some superpower that it can never become tameh. Of course it becomes tameh. So, okay, so we know a mikvah can take away, it can remove tuma, it can't prevent tuma. So I might think that man who can't remove tuma, meaning if you have an object which is tame, it's a very small object that's capable of fitting in somebody's mouth. If you have an item which is tame, and you put that item in somebody's mouth, the person is tar, and the item is tame, putting the item in the person's mouth does not make it become tar. Why? Because the only thing that makes the item become tar, the only thing that makes the little utensil become tar, is immersing it in a mikvah. However, the halacha happens to be that if a person walks into, let's say, a house where there's a mace, so there's tumas oel over here, there's tumas a mace, and the person has something in his mouth, if a person has a tar utensil in his mouth, then that tar utensil doesn't become tameh at all, because it's inside the person's mouth. This works midin tuma balua, because the tuma has to be exposed in the oel a mace in order to become tameh. So over here we have this halacha, which is very counterintuitive, because we have the mikvah, which can only remove tuma but can't preempt tuma. We have a person where if something is in his mouth, it can't remove tuma. So I might think, therefore, it can't prevent tuma. Oh, but it does prevent tuma. So over here, so shmamino lo chaylan. So we see that even though a person may not have the power to remove something, a person has the power to preempt something. So if we see that a person has the power to preempt something, it's like the tumah is not chal at all. So just like when the guy walks into a tumah, when the guy walks into a room where there's a mace, so there's tumas oel, and then something is in his mouth. If we say that the thing that's in his mouth is remaining tar, it's obviously not a situation where it becomes tameh, but then it's immediately tar, because the fact that it's in the person's mouth can't make it tar. The only thing that can make it tar is if it's in the mikvah. So when we say that having the utensil be in the guy's mouth prevents it from becoming tameh, the only way it works is if it actually prevents it from becoming tameh. So we see that the guy has the ability to actually preempt, to actually prevent the tuma. So the Ran says, the Raya is, just like the guy has the ability to totally preempt the thing from becoming tameh, so too the husband, when he makes the preemptive hafara, has the ability to totally prevent the neder from being chal at all. So that's the Raya. So from here we want to bring a Raya that according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, when the guy issues a preemptive hafara, The neder is not going to be chal at all. Okay, so says the Gemara now as follows. So turning to Ayin Vav, Amud Aleph. So Ema Seifa. So says the Gemara, but we have to look at the Seifa. So Amar lo le Rabbi Eliezer. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, Imat bilin kli tame litayer, that if you are able to be tovel a kli, which is tame, in order to be mitayer it in a mikvah, and certainly the mikvah has that capability, the mikvah has the ability to mitayer something which is tame, so yat bilu kli lichish a yitame litayer, that you should make a kal v'chomer if the mikvah is powerful enough to actually remove tumah from something which is tameh, then you should be able to be tovel something in a kli so that when it becomes tameh, it automatically becomes tar. And this is the Chachamim, so again, it's super confusing, but what the Chachamim are basically, they're arguing a straw man argument to Rebbe Eliezer. In other words, they're trying to prove to Rebbe Eliezer that his preemptive hafara is a crazy concept, that it doesn't work. Because we see elsewhere in halacha, you obviously can't preempt. So the Chachamim understood, you know, good and well, that you can't preemptively be tovel something in the mikvah. But they're trying to prove a point. They're saying, Rebbe Eliezer, the fact that after a neder is taken by a wife, the husband can be made for the neder, doesn't necessarily mean that the husband should have the ability to be made for the neder in advance. Just like a mikvah, if something is tameh and you're tovel in the mikvah removes the tumah, yet obviously you can't be tovel something in a mikvah and expect it to prevent the tumah from taking place, or you can't expect it to work such that once tumah then takes effect, oh, automatically it becomes tar because previously you were tovel in the mikvah. So too, by nedarim, even though he can be made for a neder after it's taken, doesn't necessarily mean that he can preempt the neder from ever taking effect. But from this straw man argument that they make, shma mina chaylin. So, but it's obvious that they're assuming that Rebbe Eliezer holds the way the preemptive afara works is that the nether is chal and then automatically it's revoked. Because the straw man that the Chachamim make when they argue with him is that, oh, according to you, Rebbe Eliezer, just like the preemptive afara works, so too, you should be able to be tovel something in the mikvah so that when it becomes tameh, it becomes tar automatically. So from the fact that they say when you're tovel in the mikveh, you should be able to be tovel it so that when it becomes tameh, it becomes tar, that's the analogy is you are preemptively being mefer the neder so that when it is chal, it is automatically revoked. So that is the raya. So the problem is that we have two conflicting diukim. One diuk in the argument between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim implies that the tumah is not chal at all. The other diuk in the conversation between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim implies that the neder is chal and then is immediately revoked. So says the Gemara, so Amri Rabbanan lo kaimelon betaimed Rebbe Eliezer. No, so the reason that we have these conflicting diukim when you look at the various aspects of the conversation between the Chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer and all of the arguments that they were making as to why the husband should not be able to preemptively be made for the nedarim of his wife, the reason that the Rabbanan were arguing like that is because the Rabbanan weren't really sure what exactly Rebbe Eliezer was saying. That they didn't know whether Rebbe Eliezer meant that the neder is chal and then immediately revoked, or if the preemptive revocation should have the power to even prevent the neder from ever being chal at all. They weren't sure what exactly Rebbe Eliezer meant. V'achi kamarle, and this is what they're saying. My sfirulach, what do you hold, Rebbe Eliezer? E sfirulach de chaylin ubetaylin. If you hold that they are chal and then they're automatically batel, tave kli to yuftech, then kli should be a kasha for you, because in other words, just like being tovel in the mikvah, even though it can remove tumah, doesn't prevent something from becoming tameh. So too over here, in other words, it doesn't remove the tumah automatically when the thing becomes tameh. So too over here, the preemptive afara shouldn't work. And e lo sfira lach techaylin, and if you hold that they're not chal at all, tave mikvah to yuftach, then the case of the mikvah should be your kasha. So in other words, even though by a mikvah, it should be easier to prevent tumah than to cure tumah, but we see that that is not the case. In other words, by mikvah, it's easier to cure tumah than it is to actually prevent the tumah from setting on to begin with. And again, if the person goes into a place with Tumas Oel and the person is holding something in his mouth, he could prevent the thing from becoming Tamei, even though he can't be Matar anything by putting it in his mouth. The only way to be Matar something is by putting it in a mikvah, and a person can't put it in his mouth. So again, confusing concepts. Tumatara for some reason always confuse me, at least personally, but the gist is what we're trying to prove from the case where the guy has the ability to prevent something from becoming tamei by keeping it in his mouth, and the case of a mikvah where the mikvah works to remove tumah but not to prevent tumah, the chachamim are basically saying to Reb Elazar, look, you all from this thing called preemptive hafara, we don't know what in the world you're talking about. I don't know what that means. I don't know whether you mean that the nether is chal and then automatically it's revoked, or you're trying to imply that the nether is not chal at all. But regardless, you shouldn't be able to prevent something from happening. Preemptively. It shouldn't work that way. So says now the Gemara Vayter. So Tashma, right in the middle of the page. So Tashma, Amar Lam Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer said as follows, no, I should be able to preempt. And as follows, here's my Raya. Umazraim Tameim. You have Zraim Tameim. So you have seeds that are Tamei. Now, the one thing that we'll have to remind ourselves, again, more tamatara, is that if something is mechuber lekarka, cannot become tamei. How do we know that? Because there is a halacha that in order for, let's say, zroim to become tamei, they have to be hukshar lekabel tumah. They have to be prepared for tumah. What's hukshar lekabel tumah? It means it comes into contact with one of the zayim mashkin. Okay, now the problem is, if you have wheat that's growing in a field, and it rains, which is a necessary prerequisite, or it gets wet, let's say irrigation, whatever. So of course, watering your crops is a necessary prerequisite to those crops growing. So if you're going to tell me that something becomes tameh whenever it's hukshar lekabel tumah, so all of the wheat that's growing in the field should be tameh because it's rained. It's, you know, you are putting the irrigation water on the wheat, and therefore, of course, it should become tameh. The answer is no, it doesn't become tameh because whenever it's mechuber lekarka, can't become tameh. It can only become tameh and hukshar lekabel tumah once it's removed from the karka. So we have a case of Zraim, Umazraim, back in the Gemara, Mazraim Tameim. If you have Tamei Zraim, Kivan Shezaran Bekarka Tahorin, once you plant them into the ground, they become Tahar, which is a fascinating concept. You've got to have a seed which is Tamei, you plant it in the ground, that seed is then going to be Tahar, because whatever is Mechuber Lekarka, automatically Tahar. So Zruim V'yomdim, Lokolshkein. So certainly if you have something which is Ruim V'yomdim, you have these seeds which are already planted, of course they cannot become Tamei. So they can't become Tamei at all, right? And that is the halacha. The halacha is if you have a seed that's planted in the ground, it can't become Tamei at all. Why? Because there's a Kavachomer. Madach, if I have a seed which is Tamei, and I put it into the ground, putting into the ground is matar the seed. So if I have a seed which is tar and it's in the ground already, of course it can't become tameh. But from this argument that Rabbi Eliezer says that to the Chachamim, what do we see? We see that by a seed, when you put it into the ground, it becomes tar. So if it's already in the ground, it can't become tameh. He's not saying that it becomes tameh, but then it automatically becomes tar. Because it's in the ground, what he's saying is it can't become tameh. Can't become tameh, translated over to the case of nedarim, means that you are preempting the neder from being chal at all. Shma mina lo chaylin. So back in the Gemara, so over here we have a raya that shma mina, that it's not chal, that it's not going to be chal at all, that the tumah is not chal at all. Because, of course, you have to say in the case of Zoram that the tumah is not chal at all. Because if the tumah was chal, how would it actually, how would the tumah be removed? You're going to say by the act of planting it in the ground. It's already in the ground. And of course, the only way to be metar something is to put it in a mikvah. And so from here we see that it being in the ground prevents it from becoming tameh altogether to begin with. So too, the preemptive hafara prevents the nether from taking place to begin with. And Rabbanan lo darshi kal v'chomer. And the Rabbanan are not doresh this kal v'chomer over here. So in other words, why did the Rabbanan argue? Why did the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Eliezer? It's because they don't apply this same kal v'chomer. They don't buy this comparison of the tumantara aspect, the tumantara halachas, to the case of hafaras nedarim. So says the Gemara of Rabbanan lo darshi kal v'chomer that the Rabbanan don't hold from this kal v'chomer at all, but we see that they do hold from a kal v'chomer like this. Vatanya, now we're in topics that are more familiar to us, well, not familiar to us, but at least not tumatara. So yachol yim karatim es bito kashi nara. I might think that a person can sell his daughter when she is a nara. So amrit kal v'chomer alocha is that a person is only allowed to sell his daughter who's a katana. When she becomes a nara, he is no longer allowed to sell his daughter. So in other words, only until 12 and a day. So only until then are you allowed to sell the daughter. When she's older than 12, you're not allowed to sell her, because then she's a nara. You only have rights to sell her insofar as she is a katana. So yachol yim karadam as bito kashi nara. I might think that you should be allowed to sell your daughter to a maidservant as a maidservant when she's a nara. So amrit kal v'chomer. So we say no, because it's a kal v'chomer. Mechura kvar yotza. If you sold your daughter when she's a katana, she is going to leave her servitude. She is going to go out from becoming a maidservant when she's a nara. So mechura kvar yotza, ein mechura, ein adin shelo timacher. So isn't it a kal v'chomer that if she was sold, she is going to be released from her servitude? The sale is going to be revoked. Certainly, you should be able to prevent the sale altogether. Certainly, she should not be able to be sold once she is a nara. And the Ran points out, so obviously the Chachamim do hold from this kal v'chomer, right? Madach, if she's already sold, she goes out, the sale is revoked, so surely you should be able to prevent the sale from ever taking place. So the same logic should apply to Nedarim. If you can revoke a Neder which is already in place, certainly you should be able to prevent a Neder from ever taking hold, even before it is made. So it's obvious that the Chachamim do hold from this kal v'chomer. So the Ran is also bothered. Why do we need this kal v'chomer? Like the Chachamim didn't hold from the kal v'chomer that we brought from Zraim. We just brought a kal v'chomer from Zraim. That madach by Zraim. If you have something which is tameh and you plant it in the ground, it becomes tar. So certainly if you have a zera which is already in the ground, it should be prevented from becoming tameh. What was the matter with that kal v'chomer? The Chachamim agree with that halacha, don't they? So the Ran says, well, maybe they don't agree with that. Maybe they don't agree with that halacha. Maybe they hold that a zera zarua is able to become tameh. And then the Ran says, well, even if you want to say that they agree with halacha, that a zera zarua can't become tameh, maybe the reason that they hold that a zera zarua can't become tameh is because of gzeiras hakasav. And once you have gzeiras hakasav in play, you can't start making analogies, oh, because the halacha is something by tumah tara, the halacha should be the same thing by hafaras nedarim. Because if there's a gzeiras hakasav, the gzeiras hakasav is obviously local to whatever area the gzeiras hakasav is written in. But again, the where we are in the Gemara is that Rav Elezer was bringing all sorts of kal v'chomers, that it should be easier to prevent something from taking place than removing, than changing a status. And we see from tumah tara, multiple situations from scenarios from tumah tara where if you can uproot a status, no pun intended, because we're talking about planting, but if you have something which is tumah, you plant it in the ground, it removes the tumah, certainly you should be able to prevent the tumah from ever taking place. And the Chachamim said, well, we don't buy that kal v'chomer. Okay, how about a nara? That we know when your daughter's a katana, you're allowed to sell her as a maidservant, when she's a Nara, she goes free. And when she's a Nara, you can't sell her. Why can't you sell her? Because if you already sold her, she goes free. So of course you can't sell her to begin with. So we see that it's easier to change a status than to preempt a status. So if you have the ability to change a status by Afaras Nedarim, of course you should be able to preempt the status. So says the Gemara, now flipping to Ayin Vav Amud Beis, in Bi'alma Darshi Kal V'Chomer, says the Chachamim, you got us. Yes, ordinarily speaking, of course we darsh on the Kal V'Chomer. In other words, we know logically, if you have the ability to uproot a status, if you have the ability to change the status quo, of course, logically, you should have the ability to prevent the status quo from ever being changed. Of course, we agree with that. However, Vishani Yacha, Demarkra, Yishai Kemenu, Yishai Ferenu. Well, what do you want from us? Yes, there's a Kal V'Chomer, but you know what's stronger than a Kal V'Chomer? A Gzeiras HaKasav. And the Gzeiras HaKasav says, Yishai Kemenu, Yishai Ferenu. Esha Balachlal Hakem, Balachlal Hafer. Es Shalo Balachlal Hakem, Lo Balachlal Hafer. That only a Neder, which is capable of being Mekuyam, is capable of being Mufar. Those Nedarim, which are not capable of being Mekuyam, are not capable of being Mufar. So basically, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, the Chachamim say to Rebbe Eliezer, you could bring me as many Kal V'Chomers as you want. And all of your Kal V'Chomers are valid. Logically, if you have the ability to change a status quo, you should have the ability to prevent the status from changing to begin with. However, and I agree with you, you have Kal V'Chomers from Mikveh and Tumatara and Zroim and Nara and, you know, whatever, and Naru sold as a maidservant. But the problem is we have Gzeiras HaKasav. The Gzeiras HaKasav compares Kiyum to Afara. And what do we know about Kiyum? There was no argument in our Mishnah where the Mishnah said, can you make a preemptive Hakama? Can you make a preemptive Kiyum? No, because you can only be Mekayim and Neder, which is already in existence. So if you can only be Mekayim and Neder, which is already in existence, so too you can only be Mefer and Neder, which is already in existence, because of the Gzeiras HaKasav, Yishayi Kemenu, Yishayi Ferenu. So that is the whole Shak Levitari. Rabbi Lezer has three or four different Kal V'Chomers that appear to support a Shita, that the preemptive Afara works, and at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, the Chachamim come back to Gzeiras HaKasav. I agree with you logically, all the Kal V'Chomers in the world, they're great Kal V'Chomers. Gzeiras HaKasav, that the preemptive Afara does not work. Okay, says now the Mishnah, now it gets much easier. So Afaras Nedarim Kol Hayom. So Afaras Nedarim can be all day. What does it mean all day? It means until the end of the day. So Yesh Bedavar Lahakel Lahachmer. Sometimes there is a Kula and sometimes there is a Chumra. So what does it mean? Sometimes there's a Kula, sometimes there's a Chumra. All this means is a weird Lashon, but again, the Lashon in the Dorim is weird. It doesn't mean a real Kula and Chumra, because the alternative to saying that you have until the end of the day, let's say, for example, let's take today. So today here in New York is Monday morning. So if you're able to be made for the wife's Nedarim until the end of the day, that means that you have until the end of the day today. So Shkia Tseis, I don't really know, but let's say it's around, let's say 5:20. Good. So you can 5:30. So you can be made for the Nedarim until 5:30. The alternative to saying that you have until the end of the day means that you have a 24-hour period. That's the other way of calculating time in halacha, that something called me ace la'ace. So let's say you get home from shul, your wife takes a neder, it's going to be 7:40 when you get home from shul, so you would have until 7:40 on Tuesday, 7:40 a.m. on Tuesday, to be made for the neder. So the Rishonim are bothered, what does it mean that if we say that Afaras Nedarim is kol hayom, meaning you have until the end of the calendar day, what kula can there possibly be? In other words, there's no way that until the end of the calendar day gives you more than 24 hours, right? It's impossible. Let's say your wife would have taken a neder last night, which Lagabe Halacha is already Monday, so you would have until the end of the day on Monday. You would never have more than 24 hours. So the Ron explains what this means. It doesn't mean a kula and chumra in the traditional sense. What it means is sometimes it's a long period of time, sometimes it's a short period of time. If she takes a neder in the beginning of the day, you have a longer amount of time to be made for the neder. If she takes a neder at the end of the day, you have only a shorter amount of the time to take a neder, to be made for the neder. Masha ein kein, where if it's a period of me'es le'es, if it's 24 hours, you always have 24 hours. It's never a longer or a shorter zman. Okay, so says the Mishnah, how do we illustrate this? Ketza nadro b'leile Shabbos, if she takes a neder on Leile Shabbos on Friday night, then what is the halacha? So then the halacha is that Salacha is Yafar Balele Shabbos of Yom HaShabbos Asher Techshach. He could be Mayfair, the Neder on Friday night and also Shabbos day until it gets dark, until Shabbos is over. Nodrim Chashecha, if she takes a Neder on Shabbos when it's close to nightfall, the Mayfair Achelo Techshach, Shem Choshchav Lo Offer, any Yachel Offer, then you can only be Mayfair the Neder until nightfall. Because if night falls and you have not been Mayfair the Neder, you've missed your window of opportunity, because your window of opportunity is only on the day that the neder is taken. You don't have 24 hours. You only have until the end of the calendar day. The Rush says, why are we picking on Shabbos? The same halacha, but why if you take a neder on Tuesday, then, like in other words, on Monday night, which la halacha is called Tuesday already, then he should be made for the neder until the end of Tuesday. Why are we picking on Shabbos? So the Rush gives two explanations. The first of which is, because it's Shabbos where we know that the day follows night, legabe halacha. It says vayyere vayiboker. So because it says vayyere vayiboker, from here we know that the day actually begins with night. So that's why we illustrate, if you took another Friday night, it's not that you're out of luck. It's not that it's Friday and therefore Friday's over, so you're no longer able to be made for the nether. You took a nether Friday night. Friday night is considered to be part of Shabbos. You can be made for the nether Friday night and the rest of Shabbos. The other reason the Rush says that we pick on Shabbos is simply to tell me the halacha that you're able to be Mefer Nedarim on Shabbos. Because typically the only types of things that you're allowed to do on Shabbos is something that is a Tzoreth Shabbos. Let's say she takes a neder which has nothing to do with Shabbos. I might think, well, I'm stuck. I can't be made for the neder because it's Shabbos and I can't, nis Shabbos karet, so I can't be made for the nedarim. Says the Rosh, no, you are able to be made for the nedarim on Shabbos, even if they don't have anything to do with Shabbos as the subject of the neder, because if you're not made for them now, then you're going to lose your ability in the future to be made for those nedarim. Okay, says the Gemara. So Tanya, Afaras Nedarim Kol Hayom. So Afaras Nedarim is Kol Hayom, meaning until the end of the calendar day. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Amram Eisleis. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, they hold that it's a 24-hour period. You have 24 hours to be made for Nedarim, not only until the end of the calendar day. So my time of the Tanakhama, what's the reason for the Tanakhama who says that Afaras Nedarim is Kol Hayom? It's only until the end of the calendar day. So I'm a Krah, because the Pasuk says, V'yom Shamo. It says, B'yom Shamo, on the day that you heard the Neder. Rabbana, my time of the chsiv, my time, and the Rabbanan, in other words, these Amaraim, so Rav Yosef, Rav Yudan, Rav Lozab, Rav Shimon, why do they hold that you have a 24-hour period? The chsiv, miyom el yom, because it says, miyom el yom. So from day to day, the Ran says, that's mashma, 24-hour period, because miyom el yom, it's mashma that there are 2 days. So the only way you have 2 days is if you're given a whole 24-hour period, which spans 2 days. Well, Tanakama Hoksiv Miyom Al Yom. I, according to the Tanakama, it also says Miyom Al Yom. So Isrich, because from there we learn as follows. Di Biyom Shamo, if it would only say Miyom Shamo, Hava Mina Biyamama in Bilailalo, I might think that you're only able to be made for Nadarim during the day, but you're not able to be made for them at night. Ksiv Miyom Al Yom. So therefore it says Miyom Al Yom, meaning that if the woman takes a neder Friday night, you don't have to wait until Shabbos to be made for the neder. You could be made for the nether on Friday night as well. In other words, Hafaras Nedarim is kosher at night as well. So, Ulamandi Yomar Miyom Ayom Haksib Biyom Shamo. Aye, but according to the Mandi Yomar, it says Miyom Ayom. In other words, according to this pair of Talmidei Chachamim, according to this pair of Amaraim, who say that you have a 24-hour period, aye, it also says Biyom Shamo, meaning only one calendar day. So it's Rech Diksiv Miyom Al Yom, because if it said Miyom Al Yom, Havamina Michab Shabbos L'Chab Shabbos. The Gemara has a Chiddush that if it only said Miyom Al Yom, I might think you have a full week to be made for the Nedarim. In other words, if she takes a Neder on Sunday, you're able to be made for the Neder until the next Sunday. So that's why it says, B'yom Shamo, no, that it is Miyom Ayom. In other words, it does span 2 days because it's a 24-hour period, but it's only 24 hours. In other words, it's not an entire week to be made for the Nedarim. It's only until 24 hours later on the following day. So, good. So that's the Machlokas. So we have a Machlokas. Tanakama says that when we say that you're able to be made for the Nedarim for 1 day, it means until the end of the day on which the Neder is taken, whereas this other pair of Amaraim hold that you have a 24-hour period. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, so Rav Shimon ben Pazi says in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Ein halacha ka'oso azog. The halacha is not like that group of Amoraim that said that you have a 24-hour period. Rather, the halacha is like the Tanakama that you only have until the end of the calendar day. The Rosh explains, why do we say that ein halacha ka'oso azog? Because since there were rabbim and they're arguing on the Tanakama, I might have thought that yachad v'rabbim halacha ka'rabbim. Therefore, we have to say specifically that the halacha is not like that pair. There are those who are goreith that the halacha is like that zug, but what zug are we talking about? That zug is not talking about Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudim, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. It's talking about the Tana of our Mishnah and the Tana at the beginning of the Brisa, who both said that you have only until the end of the calendar day. So Levi Savar Lemevda Kani Tanoi. Levi wanted to hold like the Tanoim, who say that you have a 24-hour period. Amarle Rav, Achi Amar Chavivi, in halacha kosu azug. What we said was that in halacha koso azug. So let us leave. Good. So let's in halacha koso azug. Therefore, you don't have 24 hours. You only have until the end of the day. Let's stop here because the next line is going to start on a next. The next line is going to pick up a new topic. So we'll pick up over here 2 lines from the bottom tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great day.